I'm thinking back, there's a guy in Florida who read my book and he sells insurance. And he said, I didn't even have to push my business on people. I didn't even have to mention about what I'm selling, my products. He said, simply by me hosting an event, when we did the icebreakers, I got to say what I do. But now they think of me.
Yeah.
Now I'm top of mind when they think, oh, who do I know? Oh, yeah, Bert. Bert does insurance. I know him, right? And so much of what we do today is just keeping ourselves top of mind.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here today with the amazing Nick Gray. Nick, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing well. Greetings. I'm excited to talk about parties and networking and all that.
Dude, this episode's going to be a party. It's for the partier, the party animal, or even possibly someone who doesn't feel like they're a party animal, but they just want to help, you know, make more relationships, right?
Who hates parties? That was me. I do not like networking events or going to parties. But yes, we're going to talk about the counterintuitive reasons why it could change your life.
So guys, why listen to Nick? Nick is an entrepreneur and author living in Austin, Texas. He started and sold two successful companies, Flight Display Systems and Museum Mac. He is the author of The 2-Hour Cocktail Party. We're going to focus on this book because I read it and I loved it. A step-by-step handbook that teaches you how to build big relationships by hosting small gatherings. Over 75,000 people have watched his TED Talk about why he hates most museums. He's been featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and New York Magazine, called him the host of culturally significant parties. I also wrote down that today we'll talk about exactly how Nick went from sitting at home alone on Friday nights to having a packed calendar full of meaningful relationships. Let's start with the thing that stuck out to me, man. Why do you hate most museums?
You know, I just think they're boring. You know, I've never taken an art history class, and these paintings, you know, they don't tell good stories. And these days when we can see anything online on Wikipedia, on Google Images, you know, what is this thing? Why do I care about this? Why is this thing $20 million and so celebrated? And so I just think museums are so boring. They haven't kept up with today's podcast and short form video generation. So I just found museums super boring. I thought they were big wastes of space and money. Until I started doing tours in a new way to tell stories about those works of art.
Let's talk about those tours in a moment, but let's set the stage here. So you're like some of us, bored, lonely on a Friday night. I know I'm in my 30s now. My friend group's gotten smaller than it used to be back in the heyday. You went from being just kind of bored, lonely, to having a packed calendar of great relationships, great friends, great clients, and people that you get to work with every single day. Where were you? And walk us through the process of getting out of that maybe rut of that loneliness on a Friday.
I'm glad you mentioned clients too, because there are such big business benefits to building your network and to learning how to socialize and mix and mingle. Where was I? When I first moved to New York, it was in my late 20s, and I did not have any social life. All my 20s, I worked in our family business. I tried to start a software company, and I worked 6 or 7 days a week. And I'm very proud of that time and what I accomplished, but socially, I wasn't making any progress. And I moved to New York saying, okay, I'm going to change this part of my life. I'm going to make friends and build relationships. But I didn't know how to do it. And I would go to, you know, nightclubs, which I do terrible at. I am so bad in loud, dark environments. I just can't really meet people. I'd go to networking events that felt very transactional and slimy, just people handing business cards. I don't know. It didn't rub me the right way. What I found that I could be successful at was when, instead of going to bad events, if I brought the party to me, if I became the host, I learned that I could curate the room, I could control the environment, and I could be on stage a little bit. And it wasn't easy. I had to learn how to do it through hosting hundreds of events. But ultimately, I found a system or a formula that worked for me and that I figured out how to help others.
Awesome. So you created a system. You wrote a book on the system, the who, what, where, when, why, every little detail of scripts. Really perfect. And I'm going to digress a little bit because it came to mind. The listener maybe has heard this. I don't know about you, but I've ranted about MySpace. And do you remember MySpace back in the day, Nick?
Yes. The top, what, top 8 friends or 6 friends? Yes. I remember MySpace. Tom.
So MySpace Tom. Who was your first friend on MySpace? It was Tom, right?
Uh-huh.
Anyone listening at home, why do you think Tom was our first friend? It's because he created the platform. So we're talking about, if you want a seat at the table and you want it to be set up the way you want it set up, why don't you just bring the table rather than trying to work your way in ways that might not feel comfortable to all of us? So you created your own table, your own parties, your own book to teach people how to do it. Where do we start? Because a lot of people might still be thinking, well, I've went to the networking events and I'm not the life of the party, or I don't know if my house is clean. Like, they have these limiting beliefs that they don't think a party will work for them. Is this something that anyone should be listening to, or is it only for the right kind of person?
I really do think it's for anyone. You know, I talked to a kid, I say kid because he's in his early 20s, but he was in Kansas. And he read my book and he said, I literally only have 2 plates in my whole house. I have a clean plate and a dirty plate. I've never had people over to my house before. The doors on my bathroom don't even lock. He's like, but I want to do this. I know that I need to make friends and I'm going to take this challenge. And so I've talked to people like this kid who literally had nobody to his house. He called me freaking out 2 hours before the party saying, what temperature do I set my thermostat for? I'm going to have so many warm bodies. How cold should I make it? So I have everybody from that to these 2 old physicians. I say old, but they're in their 60s and they had retired. And they said, look, we've now retired. We've made some money. We have friends. We just want to become hosts. We want to see our friends more often. So I really think that anybody can do this. And here's why. I don't know. Do you like this phrase where they say your net worth is your network?
Oh, yeah, you flipped it. Your network is your net worth.
Your network is your net worth. What do you think about that phrase?
I understand it from a simplicity level and makes sense, but it does make it seem like relationships equal transactions. And I'm more about transformation, not transaction. And it just seems like, let's find a referral partner, whether or not it brings us joy.
Right.
That's my reflection.
Yeah. And with that, I think that's why networking events get a bad rap, right? Because they do feel very transactional. I guess what I was alluding at with that phrase is that I believe in the power of acquaintances. And I think any big relationship, whether it's a friendship or a business partner, starts at the level of acquaintances. And many of us today, this is an idea I'm noodling on, but we have all these loose connections in our life and we don't have a way to nurture those relationships. And they find that most opportunities through life, whether it's a romantic relationship or a new job opportunity or a business partnership, doesn't actually come from our best friends. It comes from those network of loose connections, of weak ties, of acquaintances. And so I believe in nurturing the power of that by hosting a cocktail party. Note that I'm talking about a cocktail party, by the way, and not a dinner party.
Okay.
Because I found I could get 80% of the benefits from a dinner party with only 20% of the work of hosting a cocktail party. I can invite more people with less stress and less time on my part by just hosting a cocktail party. So that's what I hope to try to convince people to do. It changed my life. It helped me launch a multi-million dollar business. And I've worked with other people to help them go from literally knowing nobody in their town to having this busy calendar, being invited to things and having a network of friends.
No one to rock star in a sense. This is awesome, Nick. And you mentioned it in the book, like setting your date. And the book walks through all of this. So we're only going to scratch the surface. I do recommend people grab the book. Ultimately, I'll have that in the show notes, but grab the book because it goes through every single detail. Let me first ask this, because someone could be listening and start planning today.
Yeah.
Do I create my plan? Do I perfect it or do I just set a time? What should I do next? Do I just pick a time right now or do I perfect it? What's my first move?
I'm so happy that you asked that. And by the way, I'm happy to share everything from my book on your podcast. I don't want to keep anything a secret. It's okay. My goal to really share this because I think it changed my life so much. And I think we do have a bit of a loneliness epidemic that's happening.
Yeah.
And so this is my attempt to try to spread the good word and get more friends. What should somebody do? If you're listening to this now and you think, I'm interested in this, my suggestion is pick your date and then we'll work backwards from that. But do this. Pick a date that's 3 to 4 weeks ahead in the future. What you don't want to do is listen to this podcast on a Monday or Tuesday night and say, oh, I'll throw a party on Friday night, which, by the way, Friday, Saturday nights are not good nights for parties. I'll tell you why if you're interested. Mm-hmm. But choose a date that's 3 to 4 weeks in advance. That's what I call the party runway. That will give you enough time to fill up your guest list, which is the number one indicator for success for a new host I found is, can they fill up their guest list and then get those people to attend? So we spend a lot of time in my book making sure that you'll have a full house for your party. Full house, by the way, is 15 to 20 people.
15 to 20. So we're going to get microscopic in a second, but while we're still on when, you said Friday, Saturday, Sunday, possibly not a good time. When should my party be? What time? You mentioned not a dinner party, before dinner, after party. It's a cocktail party. So I presume evening. I'm going to stop asking 8 questions at once and you can ask one. When should it be and why?
The best day to host a party, in my opinion, using my formula, is a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday night. And I'll tell you why. Those nights are not socially competitive. And what it means is that when you do a party on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, you'll have a higher attendance rate. You'll have more people say yes, and you'll make it easier for people to say yes to your party. As I said, the number one indicator of success for a new host is, do people actually show up? Can they get 15 people to come to their party? Mm. So everything I do in my work is making sure that you don't have to stress about that. And I found when you host it on a non-socially competitive night, more people can say yes. So that's the day. Now let's talk about the time. When I was in New York City, I would host from 7 to 9 p.m. Mm. Now in smaller towns, that may be too late. You may do 5 to 7 p.m. You might do 6 to 8 p.m. You might do 6:30 to 8:30. You do want to give people time to either eat beforehand or eat afterwards. But I always tell people, hey, no formal dinner will be served. We'll have some light snacks like some chips and dip, but no formal dinner will be served. And by the way, setting the expectations for your party is another key pro tip that I found, letting people know what to expect. ultimately, though, I just want to paint a picture for your listeners that they'll use these parties to invite all these random groups, these random connections and people that you know in your town. Everyone from the barista at your local coffee shop who just has a cool energy and you want to get to know them, to the person you bump into at the gym and you only say hi to, but you've never hung out, to even the people you used to work with years ago or people you went to college or high school with, your neighbors. You're just going to fill the room with a collection of adults and mix them up so that they can meet new people as well.
Love it, Nick. This is pure value. I feel like we're freight train throughing it because we understand when and a little bit about who. What's the why behind the who? I mean, from a barista to my personal trainer to the person down the road to a coworker seems kind of random, right? Well, yeah. what's the purpose behind the seemingly random guest list I have here?
I have very strong thoughts about it, but you're also an expert in this because you talk and you know so many people through networking. So if I can, I want to turn the tables on you and ask, what do you think is the purpose in that? I think we're lined up exactly the same. I'm just curious, what would you say it is?
The broad stroke is you never know who can help who.
Yes.
And the even broader stroke is, if you're open to experience, things can be created that no one would have ever imagined. And when you detach from outcome, I said it already, transformation, not transaction. When yes. you detach from this is a business transaction where we're going to golf as an example, not to be rude, but we're going to golf, we're going to small talk, I'm going to try to earn their business. Random kind of allows you to be open to the weird and the unordinary.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. The weird and the unordinary. At my gatherings, I like to have a diversity in occupation, in age group, in gender, in ethnicity. Diversity can apply more to just the shape and shade of our genitals, as somebody told me once.
I didn't see that one coming, yeah.
You can have a diversity in the occupations. And so I like to invite people from all different walks of life because at my parties, I want people to have fun and to make new friends. And I think that if you're thinking about networking, you need to think about how you can add value first. And the way for you to add value is by getting a varied sort of interesting group of people together. I know that if I hosted a party and I wanted to meet real estate people, I got to be honest, a party filled with just real estate people would not be very fun. Nothing against real estate people, but it would just snap into work mode too much, all right? Yeah. As opposed to if I can get people from all these different things, and okay, I'll bring a lot of real estate folks, but also these other areas, they're going to have interesting conversations. And I love to ask people, by the way, what they do for work, but also what are some of your hobbies? Because I have found that asking about that, oh, I'm into running. Oh, so I want to form a running club. I want to join a running club. Or, oh, I'm into rock climbing. I just like those things. It's hard to make friends as an adult. And at the end of the day, we're thinking about friendships first. And like you said, it's transformation, not transactions. And so I want people to have interesting conversations. You never know who could pair up. And I simply want a way to collect interesting people in my life. And these parties serve to do that.
Love it. And we're going to get super microscopic in a second. I'm going to, this is a self-serving question because you put it on me for a moment. I know personally, so I was big in the music scene. For over 10 years of my life, I did marketing for music. I was at the bar till 2 a.m. And now business, Ben, is the same human, the same essence, but different character, different friends, different colleagues, et cetera, et cetera. Do I bring my hippie friends in the same room with my clients? I've got a hippie friend that, you know, knows this weird stuff I say when I smoke pot. And then I have my clients that only know the results I bring them.
Yeah.
This makes me nervous. And I think a lot of listeners might see that. Like, do I blend too much? This seems like, I don't know. I can't control the outcome here, can I?
Right. So here's what I say about that. These parties are most successful when you can mix different groups together throughout your life. And while I wouldn't necessarily encourage half and half, you know, half of your music friends and half of your work friends, I would encourage, you know, maybe a fourth of your work friends, a fourth of your music friends, a fourth of your neighbors, and a fourth of your random LinkedIn connections. I think mixing up these different groups to have different people in the room to connect from different backgrounds is what's really exciting. Ultimately, these parties will be successful because you never know who your friends or work people will connect with. In this party, we're trying to serve first by giving the guests the opportunity to meet new people. So remember, this party is about you, of course, to build your network of acquaintances, but first you have to help them to attend. So it's truly an exciting party for them. And how is it exciting? Is if they get to meet new people. That is, by the way, why 15 is really the minimum number of people. I have found through lots of trial and testing that if I only have 12 people walking into a room of 10 or 12 people, I say, well, I'll probably meet everybody in this room, right? It's, you know, the party is 2 hours. I can probably talk to everybody. 15 hits that limit where you kind of say, oh, I probably won't be able to talk to everybody here. This is exciting. The party gets a critical mass where you as a host also, by the way, I present myself as an extrovert, but during my parties, I sometimes run away to my room and lay down on the bed and just scroll social media to recharge my batteries. Having more people, it's counterintuitive, but it actually allows you to do less work. You get to take a back seat because the party manages itself. I talked to somebody just yesterday in Houston. He's a screenwriter. He hosted a meetup for people in the film world. And he said, I got to see people break off into groups of 2, 3, and 4 having these little conversations, and I didn't have to do anything. So that's one of these secret benefits of hosting.
Yeah, people are just conversing and breaking the ice with each other. You don't have to be the center of gravity in every conversation. One tiny sliver I want to ask about, you mentioned like LinkedIn connections is one group. It could be someone that I've never met in person, right? Is it weird to ask someone who's kind of a stranger to come to the party, or is this a good opportunity to ask kind of, maybe not a total stranger, but someone you don't know well?
So I think about the people who attend a party in two different tiers. Now, it's not to say one is more important than the other, but it is in the order that I send my invitations. And the first group of people that I invite to my party is what I call my core group. These are my close friends. These may be your business clients that you feel comfortable with. They may be those musician friends. They may be your neighbor who you always see and you always say hi to. They're the people that you feel comfortable with, that you've hung out with before. And you know, by inviting them first and getting their yeses first, that it builds up your confidence, that if only those people show up, you know you'll still have a good night, okay? Now, once we've secured 5 of those yeses, then you can start to invite what I call your great guests. And these are basically everybody else that will attend your party. It can be those LinkedIn connections that you've never met before, but you notice that they're in the same town. And to them, I would send a message and be like, hey, Jerry, I know this is random, but I'm hosting a cocktail party to bring together different folks in town. Nobody knows each other. I'm just mixing people up because it can frankly be hard to meet people as we get older. This isn't a networking event. It's super casual. Would you like to swing by? Can I send you the information? Now, note the words that I'm using there. For the great guests, I'm saying, can I send you the information? Not, do you want to come?
Yeah.
For my core group, I'm going to ask them, if I do it, would you come? Because I'm trying to get those 5 yeses, right? As the book speaks about, we get those 5 yeses first. But for the great guests, I'm just saying, hey, can I send you the information? And when they say yes, then I send them a page. I make a RSVP page. I think that's so important to collect RSVPs for your event. And by the way, if you take anything from this podcast, I hope for your next event, you'll do 2 things or 3 things. Number one, you'll collect RSVPs. It's important to collect RSVPs. Don't just spray and pray your invitation. You need to get that social contract and build social proof with the list of attendees. Number two, set an end time for your gatherings. Many people make this mistake. They only set a start time. When you don't set an end time and when you don't have it as 2 hours, it extends the awkward zone. You have people saying, oh, the party starts at 7. I guess I'll show up at 8.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
And that happens many times. And then there's this whole sort of calculus. If you're hosting a barbecue, they're like, okay, he said it starts at 5, but the host is from Central America and they never show up on time. So I guess I'll show up an hour and a half, but then traffic, so I'll show up 2 hours. It's this weird, set a 2 hour time block, set a start time, end time. People know what to expect. They show up on time. Third thing I hope you take away from this is use name tags. Even if you know everybody's name who's attending, this is a hill that I will die on. Using name tags at social gatherings is inclusive and creates more conversations and more new connections that I will never host an event without name tags. In fact, I carry about 25 emergency name tags in my backpack at all times.
Love it. In a second, we'll do name tags because I want to talk about specifically what the event's going to look like. But I want to ask one question about the spray and pray. Because I know back from the music industry, set up an event, invite 1,000 people, you get, 600 people saying they're coming to the show. Of that 600, only 180 come, and it's kind of all over the place. So how do I ensure that I guess one question would be if you have a preferred platform. And the second question is, how do I ensure that the yes is an actual yes? So I know how many people are coming. And again, it's not the Facebook event where you get 200 or you get 20 and then only you get 20 and three only show up. So
yes.
Yeah.
So first I want to qualify and say that I think I'm probably the biggest expert in online event platforms. I've looked at so many of them, from Evite to Eventbrite to Paperless Post to Luma to Mixly, Facebook events, and I'm constantly looking and reviewing. Here's what the trends are right now as we're recording this, February 2023. Number one, Gen Z loves this platform called Partyful. Have you heard of that? P-A-R-T-I-F-U-L. Partyful. And Partyful's probably the trending, hippest, hottest ones for Gen Z. So I'm talking about people in their 20s. They love it because it is text messages. And I'll include a link in the show notes to exactly how to use this platform the best, but it's free for right now. The one that I use for myself is called Mixly, spelled M-I-X-I-L-Y. Mixly is an alternative to Facebook events where you don't need a Facebook account. It's free. There's no ads. There's no spam. You don't need a login name to sign up or anything for your guests. The ones that I don't like a Evite. Evite is, too much display ads, pop-ups, JavaScript. You need an account. They spam your attendees with newsletters. I don't like that one. Eventbrite has some certain built-in reminders. I don't really like Eventbrite. It feels too transactional. So the ones that I like are Mixly is the one that I recommend the most. Now, how do we get people to actually show up? You get people to show up by doing a double opt-in intro. So if I was hosting a conference, if I was back in the Ben music days, not the business Ben days, but the Ben music days, then I would send a message saying like, hey, I'm hosting a concert or a show next Wednesday night. Are you available? Can I send you some information about it? So I would ask that first before I simply blast them with the link. I wait for them to say yes, that I can send them the info. And then I send them the link that's the information page, which really is the link to RSVP. Now, many of these platforms these days have the ability to say yes, no, or maybe. And when they actually take the step to say yes, and they put their name and their email in, they're kind of making a bit of a social contract. So that's the number one way. The number two way, though, that really I found is key is sending a series of three reminder messages before your concert or event or happy hour or housewarming party. And those three reminder messages I send at the following cadence. Number one, I send it 1 week beforehand. Hey, everybody, show's next week. Can't wait. Here's the details. I'll send more info in a few days. Next one is 3 to 4 days before. And on that one, I'm sending more detailed information along with my secret weapon, which is called guest bios. Guest bios are little blurbs about some of the people who will be attending. to help drum up the anticipation and excitement and also lock those people into attending. The last reminder message that I send is on the morning of. So I'm sending the morning of, hey, everybody, party tonight, show tonight. Can't wait to see you all. Here's all the details. And I include the same stuff from before. My guess is that in the past, and this is very normal, where you see on a Facebook event, 198 people invited, 4 people coming. And you're like, dang, this is like totally spray and pray. So those are some of the things that I do to boost attendance rate. Was there any that resonated with you, Ben, or that you said, oh, that's interesting, I could do that, or I could suggest that for people doing shows?
I love the follow-up system. The two things stuck out. First off, in a scenario like a Facebook event, you just send it. It comes in their notifications. Maybe they click it. Maybe they don't. The fact there's an input form that forces them to type in their name and their email is a stronger yes than just clicking a button that's in front of them on their phone. And then the following up with your yeses is very powerful. One thing that I want to address here is, because we could talk about this ad nauseum, you wrote an entire book with every single detail. My first event, I don't have to do every one of these things perfectly, right? Like this, people are probably overwhelmed. I like that there's a system, but it doesn't have to be perfect.
Let's talk about that. And I'm so glad that you mentioned it, because it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, I've listed every single micro detail, but the reality is, even if you do 30% of these things, you'll have a better gathering than most people have ever done. And why is that? Because just doing a couple of these things, you'll show that you're a host who cares. You know, what my whole book is fighting against is that party on a Friday night where there's no agenda, there's no name tags, and we're just expected to show up and hopefully we introduce ourselves to people, right? I don't like those environments. I want to know who's in the room. I hope that the host will help me out with some introductions. I want it to be easy to make new friends and create new conversations. And when you show that you're a host who cares, when you add a little bit of generous leadership to your gathering, your event will be so much better than everything else. And not only that, people will respect you for it. They will thank you for inviting them. And you will start to get introduced to other people as a great host, as an organizer, as someone who brings people together. It's one of the most surprising benefits that people share with me when they start to host parties.
This is really interesting this will help your personal life, but specifically in a business context. I've said this when I'm consulting with people. With something like a podcast, if you can provide a great experience, write awesome show notes, create graphics, edify the guests, make them look good, whether or not they do business with you, they get a feeling as to what it would feel like if they did. And it's so much easier for them to become a client or a cheerleader for what you do. You're explaining the exact same thing I'm doing in a podcast sense, in an event sense, that you become someone who's well-organized, that has a strong community, that starts when you say, that ends when you say, and brings value to the conversation, whether or not someone's your lover or business colleague or knows you well, they're going to see you as someone worth knowing. This is super cool. I'm just having aha moments is all, man.
But I like what you said there, that by setting up people for the podcast, you show them what it's like to do business with you. And I'm thinking back, there's a guy in Florida who read my book and he sells insurance. And he said, I didn't even have to push my business on people. I didn't even have to mention about what I'm selling, my products. He said, simply by me hosting an event, when we did the icebreakers, I got to say what I do. But now they think of me.
Yeah.
Now I'm top of mind when they think, oh, who do I know? Oh, yeah, Bert. Bert does insurance. I know him, right? And so much of what we do today is just keeping ourselves top of mind when people are inviting us, when they're thinking of referrals, stuff like that. And when you become the host, you stay top of mind with people.
Top of mind. Love this. Okay, so we have a date. We have 15 to 20 or so people coming in. We're gonna do 2 hours and like 5 to 10 minutes here. But It's 7 o'clock. We're going 7 to 9. 7 o'clock ticks. What's the first thing that happens? We're up front with name tags. I'm nervous. I'm excited. What happens right at 7?
At 7 o'clock, well, first of all, you'll be surprised how many people actually show up on time for this party
yes.
because of the 2-hour limit. And so that is a surprising thing. But here's what I say. I say that folks should do 2.5 rounds of icebreakers. And we do that first icebreaker. I say that's the half, simply to help get us out of the awkward zone. You know, the awkward zone, it happens at every party when only 3, 4, 5 people have attended. And sometimes the people you know the least well are the ones that show up the first, right? That happens. At all parties, that happens. Well, I lead a round of icebreakers to say, hey, everybody, you guys are the first ones here. Thank you so much. Let me just practice. Let's do a quick round of icebreakers. Just say your name and what you do for work or how you spend your day if you don't want to talk about work. And let's just go around the circle real quick. Just say that super fast. So I have everybody do that real quick. And then I say, thank you so much. The reason that we're going to do these, I always say the why, and you got to say the why. The reason we do these is I hosted this party for my friends and connections to meet up and make new friends. So I hope you use that as an excuse to go meet somebody new, say hi. We're going to do this same icebreaker again in about 20 minutes when everybody else is here. And then you break to like unstructured time, right? Now that you've brought people together and you release it into unstructured time, now they start new conversations. Throughout the party, you're going to do 2 or 3 of those bring together and breaks to break up the existing conversations. Now, this is the secret of icebreakers. Not only do they create new conversations, but they help break up existing conversations. At my parties, it's the number one thing I want is movement in the room. I don't want to look around after an hour and see everybody talking to the same person.
Right.
What I want at these parties is a lot of little conversations. And by the way, don't worry about interrupting people. The best conversations will reform. It's something I've noticed in my own life and hosting these parties. But I want to have a lot of little conversations. And so I create a couple breaks throughout the party to help mix the party up. I can't stress enough how I get to talk to readers of my book and they're like, I can't believe this worked. Like, people loved it. And all I did was just host a party. It's not about the drinks or the food. People hardly drink or eat that much. Yeah. It's all about the people.
Since you said, I can't believe this works, this thing was funny to me, and I'm going to lob up this question to you. So what if I'm soft-spoken? How do I get people's attention to go into icebreakers? What do I do to get people to stop their conversation without rudely, you know, one by one interrupting everybody? What do we do?
So let's talk about first that setting the expectations of your guests.
Okay.
That number one, you will have name tags at the party. So we're going to include that in the RSVP page. And number two, that there will be some rounds of icebreakers.
Okay.
The way that I do that is I say, hey, everybody, I'd love to have you over for light drinks and snacks. There'll be name tags and icebreakers because I'm bad with names and I want to mix my friends up. Okay. When you set that expectation, there will be much less resistance, if any, to doing these non-traditional things. So I just want to say that first of all.
Got it. So you set the expectation and then you can get a little more creative because people already understand what they're getting into.
They've bought into it. They've RSVP'd to an event that has icebreakers. They've implicitly given you the permission to lead the party with that. Now, how do you stop the party? 30 minutes after the party started, how do you stop the party to lead a round of icebreakers? Well, here's what I do and what the book says, is you're going to turn the music down. So there's light background music playing. I like to play the Beach Boys. I have a list of party playlists that I play, but just something simple, right? I just want...
In case anyone wants every single detail.
Yes.
Nick has it all. I love it.
I've tried to think of everything to be successful.
I appreciate that.
Don't plan a playlist, by the way. I don't know if you DJ, if you plan, but you really can't plan a playlist for one of these types of parties. You don't know how things are going to go. So you're going to turn the music down and you're going to call attention to the room. Now, I hesitate. I don't know if you remember, if you read in the book, the musical device that I suggest people to use.
That's why I brought it up, because it made me smile.
Well, it's very silly, and I will tell it, but I don't want somebody to tone me out because they need to read in the book why. But okay. I actually use a harmonica at all of my parties. I don't know how to play a harmonica. I couldn't play a single song, but I use it almost like a whistle or like a tonal sound to gather people's attention, similar to like clinking on a glass. Why is this important? You'll be surprised how loud a room of 15 people can be when everybody's having these conversations. And what I noticed was I was having to jump on a chair and say, hey, 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 yelling at everybody to simmer down. And that doesn't make the host look good. Instead, when I use a playful little sound like the harmonica, people grin, they chuckle. It does seem silly, but they quiet down. And then I make an announcement. I say, hey, everybody, we're going to do a quick round of icebreakers. So I'd like you to circle up. I promise, look, this might be cheesy, but I promise it'll be fast. And the reason why we're doing this is, you know, it can be harder to meet new people as adults. So maybe this will give you an excuse to go have a conversation with somebody new. Mm. I'll go first. And what we'll say is blah, blah, blah. So then you lead into it. By the way, for those listening, I think icebreakers get a bad rap because people do them wrong. An example of a bad icebreaker would be like, you know, say two truths and a lie. Or say a fun fact about yourself or something, where you really put people on the spot and it causes almost more anxiety and uncertainty than the benefits that you get out of it. At the beginning of a party, the best icebreaker is fast, it's quick, and it's non-judgmental. So I like to ask, say what you do for work, say your name, say what you do for work, and then say one of your favorite things that you like to eat for breakfast. Hmm. Now that may sound silly or childish or not helpful, but it does work 100% of the time. People don't have to stress over their answer, and it simply gets people talking. It also expresses a little bit about their personality. So that's one that I like at the start of a party.
Any other, and I love the harmonica thing. I get the audiobook and the book because I just retain better if I do both at once.
Yeah.
And I just had a big smile on my face when you would actually play the harmonica on the audiobook. And I'm like, this is fun. This is so different than my ordinary audiobook. This is cool.
It's really different. Thanks for saying that too. It was a neat experience to record in the studio. And yeah, it was fun.
So what other icebreakers, once we're warm, we're having fun, what other icebreakers do you love?
So that's the first icebreaker, because you're going to do the same one kind of both times. The last icebreaker, about an hour later, 30 minutes before the party's scheduled to end, you'll do what I call a value additive icebreaker that makes the whole room feel smarter. A value additive icebreaker, I'll give your listeners three samples they can pick from. The one I do most frequently, and by the way, we're going to warn the guests and give them a 5-minute warning and tell them the question so they can think about it a little bit. That also gives them an excuse to go grab a drink or freshen up. The value additive icebreakers that I like, number one is what's a great piece of media that you like. And for those listening, I apologize. If you can hear my hiccups, Ben is being such a good host. I don't know how to get rid of them. So let us know in the comments, how do I get rid of hiccups? I did it again. The value additive ones I like. Number one, what's one of your favorite pieces of media? Number two, what is a purchase that you've made during the last year for $100 or less? It could be an object or an experience, which I've heard you ask folks this sometimes on your podcast, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Number three is, what is your best city or life hack for where we are now? In Rochester, it could be your favorite dog park, cafe, small local business that you want to support, something like that. What's your best city hack? And why I like these icebreakers is because everybody feels smarter. They get ideas of things that they want to do. And you see them taking their phones out and writing down suggestions. And they leave your party saying, wow, I met new people and I got new ideas for things to do. That was a great gathering. That was a great party.
Love it. Love it. I'm sorry for giving you the hiccups. I take full credit. I somehow transferred hiccups to you through the podcast. But
would I be the first guest who's ever had hiccups on it?
Yes.
Really? This is a record.
I believe
so. An absolute record.
So I like to close out. First off, the book. All of it's in here, and we're scrunched on time. We were able to take like an entire book and give the broad strokes in a short amount of time. But I highly recommend, if you have any questions, reach out to Nick, that's in the show notes. Reach out to buy the book. Reach out to me if you want an intro. And to my understanding, like, you want people to like host a party, take a selfie, you'll promote it, the whole shabam. Tell us, we're going to go rapid fire, but tell us why you want someone like to take a picture or your involvement in their party, I guess is a good way to ask it.
So send me an email when you pick the date for your party and I'll send you some bonus resources and I'll cheer you on.
Cool.
But I'm on a mission to try to help 500 people to host a party for their friends and neighbors. And it's kind of, it's like my goal right now. And I've wrapped my head around that that number. That is my one number that I'm obsessed with. And I'm talking to people on the phone and I'm learning all about hosting and stuff. So that's what I'm obsessed with. On social media, I'm at Nick Gray News. And you can find the book wherever. But will we get to do the rapid round of questions? I was hoping to do those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. And I was going to start with a couple questions that you just gave me.
Yes.
What's a piece of media that you've consumed recently that really brought you joy?
One that is on my list I haven't consumed yet, but have you seen The Last of Us yet? Have you watched it?
I have not.
It's a show that everybody's talking about, and so that is one that I like. I hope that this isn't cliche, but I saw the new Avatar movie, and I really enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it. And it was really the first blockbuster hit. I didn't like the Top Gun, but I loved the Avatar.
Yeah, I saw it in 3D and I was immersed. It was great. It was the best movie I've seen. I almost said all year. It's February. It's the best movie I've seen in a year, 12-month period.
Same.
We'll ask the Austin, you're in Austin, Texas. You and I talked offline that I've been there once or twice. I'm from New York, so it's a great place to go when it's cold here. If someone's traveling to Austin, what's one of your favorite hangouts? Is it a museum or something different?
The number one thing you have to do if you come to visit the city of Austin
is give
me a call for sure. Number two is, you need to go to Barton Springs Pool. It's a natural spring-fed aquifer that's basically downtown. Same temperature all year long. It is a little cold, but it is so fun and so amazing. I highly recommend it.
Cool. We'll do a few more. I usually do silly ones. Maybe one day I'll put together a poll. Coffee or tea?
I like tea. I'm drinking green tea right now. My favorite type of tea is a Japanese green tea called Kukicha. It's low in caffeine, but high in theanine. And so it's a little more of a mellow high.
Kukicha?
Kukicha.
All right. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole and look that up as soon as we hang up here. Let's do favorite time of year in Austin.
My favorite time of year is summer. Summer is great here, but I like spring. I think spring's a little nicer. Summer can be so hot, and I like spring when flowers are blooming and everything's popping off. Everybody has a good mood. Spring is my favorite.
Spring's good. Oh, wow. So this is funny. It's actually on my list. I've got a little cheat sheet of rapid fire questions. I asked different one. One of them on my list is favorite breakfast item. So you already brought that up earlier. What do you eat for breakfast, Nick?
I love scrambled eggs, and my secret ingredient is coconut oil. I will add in a little spinach sometimes. You know how you can add like 4 handfuls of spinach and it's a tiny little, but scrambled eggs, that's one of my go-to for breakfast. I also mess around with butter coffee because I like having coffee. Instead of butter though, I use ghee. So I like butter coffee also.
Love it. Love it. I'm blending a question I've asked before with things I've learned from you. So I already have 5 people coming to my party. Possibly I already have 10 people that have agreed and I want to beef up my list and I can invite anyone in the world. So put yourself, I said, this is Nick, Nick's scenario, but let's all think about it together. So you've already got your first 10 or 12. You can invite anyone in the world and you know they're going to say yes. What strangers, celebrity, even a fictional character, you choose, what strangers would you add to that list and invite to your cocktail party? You knew they couldn't say no, they had to say yes.
Okay, I would work with you to brainstorm a musician that could, if the spirit moved them, perhaps do a little acoustic performance at the party.
Cool.
And so I would think about who is someone that we could invite that could do something cool, whether it's a magician to do close-up magic, a musician to play some songs. But something like that would be really, really fun.
Are the Beach Boys still around?
We should invite the Beach Boys. I'd like to invite whoever's still around from the Beach Boys.
Who else? I threw that joke in. Is there anyone you would just die to meet?
I would like to meet David Blaine. You know, I was talking about magicians, and David does more, you know, more mentalism and more, you know, human feats of strength, I guess you could call it. But I have a lot of respect. He did a TEDx talk like 15 years ago where he really talked about his why of doing magic. Mm. And that really moved me. So I'd like to meet him. I have a lot of respect for the work he does.
You gave me one last question that we'll end on because I think it's a good one, in my opinion at least. You mentioned TEDx talk and you're a TEDx speaker. Mm. If you could choose any topic for your next talk, and there's no pitching or trying to find the right venue, you just knew that they'd say yes, what would be the topic of your next TEDx?
The topic of my next TEDx, I would specifically talk about how to make more friends, and I would want to get into details and tactics of the specifics of building relationships. And I tell you, it's a challenge for me when I hear from somebody who doesn't have their core group. They don't even have five people who they could invite to a party. And so I would do a TEDx about that for someone that knows absolutely zero how they can make new friends. It's an area that I want to explore myself.
Love it. And listeners, if you can somehow help make this happen, let's make it happen. I would subscribe to that talk, attend if I can. Tell us one more time, what's the best way to get more Nick in our lives and keep up to date on everything you're doing?
So the name of my book is called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party. You can find it wherever books are sold online. I recorded the Audible myself. I'm very proud of it. And this formula that I have, you can use for hosting a housewarming party, a clothing swap, a happy hour, or a networking event. It's a formula for hosting gatherings. I'll include links in the show notes, if it's okay with Ben, on how you can plan all of those events if you're interested in it. And by the way, we talked a lot about cocktails, but you don't need to serve alcohol. I don't even drink alcohol myself, but I use that phrase cocktail party because it represents a lightweight social gathering. This could just as much be used for a baby shower or anything like that. Find me on social medias. I'm at Nick Gray News. That's NickGraynews. I post a lot on Instagram these days as well.
Cool. And guys, if you do get the audiobook, listen for the harmonica. I told you why. You'll love it. Just enjoy it. And Nick, man, as a strategic thinker that likes the nuanced details, I love the book. I love this conversation. And I appreciate you coming on, man. It's been fun.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for all the knowledge that you share to your listeners. And it was really fun for me to get into the details, the specifics of the how and the why too. My major sort of takeaway, by the way, is what you said about transformation, not transactions. So I'm going to be thinking about that.
I stole it. I can't remember who I stole it from, but feel free to share the love because that's what it's really all about, right? It's about the relationships we get to build. And guess what happens when you have fruitful relationships? It does lead to transactions, right? But let's be relationship first, and then we'll figure the rest out as we go.
That's great. Well, thanks for listening. By the way, a little plug. Yeah. If you're listening to this podcast and you enjoy it, it helps Ben out a lot. Will you leave a review in any podcast app that you listen to? Please leave a review. It'd be really helpful for more listeners and more good guests.
Yeah, the guys, whether it's a review, a screenshot, on you share it on your story, send either of us a DM. Let us know you came from Nick, just so I can let him know that you appreciated it. But I appreciate the plug, man. I appreciate Thanks, you coming on. And we'll find a way to do this again sometime, because I like spending time with you.
Let's do it. Please tell me when you come to Austin. I'll take you swimming. I'm serious, too.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Be well. Talk soon.
See you later, Ben. Bye.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.
Hey, my name is Nick Gray, and I was a guest on Ben's podcast, and I appreciate all of the research that Ben did and how the conversation was so fluid and seamless. An hour went by really quickly. He asked me really good questions that helped me share about my book, but also about my why and what was important. I highly recommend, if you're thinking about being a guest on this podcast or listening or anything, to definitely check it out. Ben is a great interviewer.